today we're going to continue, as I mentioned to you, we're going to be talking about stewardship. So what is a faithful steward? We've been talking about stewardship. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 16, and we actually are not going to get a picture here of a good steward. Kind of ironic, isn't it? The message is about being a good steward, and the scripture we're going to read about a bad steward. We're going to read about a man that was taking advantage and using and wasting his employer, his boss's money, and he gets so bad, he finally says, I'm just going to have to fire you. Oh, that's never a good feeling, is it? Being the boss and having to make those tough decisions. But sometimes the performance is so bad, it's really a no-brainer sometimes. Well, that was the situation here. And so it sends him in a panic. He's got to do something. He's got to change things. So let's just go ahead, and we're going to get right into the text, and then I want us to kind of recap a little bit, and we'll get caught up here. So Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, we're going to go through to verse 12 and just read this account that the Lord has given. He says, "He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and he said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? My master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.'" So he's got a plan. So here's his plan. "So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measure of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commanded the unjust steward, or commended, that's kind of odd, isn't it? Commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." That's a little confusing, but we're going to come back to it, okay? Verse 9, he said, "I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." So this is what the unjust steward was doing. He was going back and forgiving debt that wasn't his, but he's using his boss's authority to gain friends so that when he's homeless, he's got a place to go. Brilliant. Unethical, but brilliant. Are you with me, church? Okay, so we're talking about an unjust steward. Don't be shocked that he's doing this wrong, but yet it's smart, isn't it? Okay, so we're gonna get into that. So he says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" So if you would allow me, we're going to go back and backtrack our key. I try to use these keys so that if you don't remember anything else, remember these and then remember the scripture verses, okay? Last week, we understand that stewardship is our obedient witness to God's sovereignty, okay? We actually spent 2 weeks on that and talking that God is sovereign over all things. What does that mean? It means that He has created us. He has bought us with His precious blood. So therefore, we are not our own, but we are His. Amen? Even those that are lost, and they say that, well, I can do whatever I want to. My friend, you may think you can, but all will fall under the authority of God because He is the only authority. He is the final authority. He is the eternal authority, and that will never change, no matter what our opinions are. Amen? And because of that, the scripture reminds us that at the time of death, there's a time appointed unto man to die, and then the judgment. That's right. We're going to give an account for all that we have done, said, thought, or did not do, right? He's going to examine all that we have done. with the resources that he has given. The very breath that you just took belongs to him, not you. Wow, how dare you say that? It's true. It's true. Was it not in the garden that Jesus made Adam out of the dust of the earth and pulled him together? And then what did he do? Breathed the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. It all belongs to him. It all come from him. So therefore, we're going to give an account of how we used it. Interesting that we can break it down to such a very basic level. Amen? But as God's people, we have an opportunity to be a witness and give a testimony that the sovereignty of God is true, but yet the sovereignty of God is a glorious thing, not a terrible thing, right? If you have surrendered to the Lord Jesus. So today, our main key that we're going to be focusing on today is that stewardship is responsibility with accountability. Now, I don't know about you, but accountability doesn't always set real nicely with me. How about you? I just want to do my own thing. I want to make my own schedule. I don't like it that my boss wants me to come in every day to work. Oh, how exhausting. You know, I don't know why he can't just mail me a check in the mail, you know, and I'll just stay here and watch cartoons and eat ice cream. Why do I have to be there? It's accountability, right? Let's be honest. If there's no accountability, there's difficulties, right? There's a soapbox I want to get on, but I'm going to leave it for now. There must be accountability within our community as well. If there is no accountability, what happens? Everything runs amok. It's going to fall apart. Coming apart at the seams. And it's frustrating, right? But also, blessings are lost. Peace is gone. Joy is diminished, right? But when there's accountability, we're held to a certain level of faithfulness, right? But here's the thing, as a believer, we must hold ourselves accountable to God, right? He welcomes us, he draws us, he warns us. Walk with me, I'll bless you. Fight against me, you will lose. I can remember arguing with my parents sometimes. I entered it into that glorious time of teenage years and thought I knew more than them. Never been more ignorant in my life. Glory be to God, he didn't leave me there. Gave me parents to convince me otherwise. But I would argue with them. And Dad says, you just keep it up, boy. You just keep it up. I love you, but I hurt you. Now, my dad never abused me, but man, he knew exactly what to take away and how long. And it hurt, right? I know at the time of the teenage years, taking my car away. Oh, and I was even paying for myself, and he took it away. Can you believe that? Oh, but I'm so thankful for that accountability. I'd probably be in jail if I didn't have that accountability. I can assure you that. I was ignorant, and the Lord saved me. And my dad saved me from ignorance. Praise the Lord. But it has to come through accountability. Amen? Okay. So let's come to terms. We're not talking about accountability through violence. We're talking about accountability through a loving Savior who owns us, loves us, wants to bless us. God would rather give mercy than judgment. He says it over and over throughout the Scriptures. So when we come to the Word, he says, come to me. I want to love you, but you need help. So the steward has himself in a pickle, doesn't he? He has a problem. We find there in verse 1 that we find that word comes to him and we find out that there's accusations been raised against him. Notice he doesn't try to argue against the accusations, does he? He's guilty. He has been wasting his master's goods and money. And so now he's confronted by his boss. He's confronted by the owner of all these things, his employer. He says, what have you done? And so immediately he starts to plan. Now something that I want us to see in point one is that a faithful steward will act in faith. Now here's something that's interesting that we watched this steward. He had in his mind that he could do whatever he wanted. Maybe he thought he could just kind of hide it and cover it up. Maybe he thought it was so little that it wouldn't be caught or seen. but he was using what was not his in a way that he was not given authority to do. And so therefore, he did what he wanted to do, right? Oh, you know, I'll be honest, wouldn't that be the best job ever? I just show up when I feel like showing up. I'll do what I want to do, but hey, keep that check coming in the mail. But it's not reality, is it? It's not reality. Could you imagine a business trying to operate in that way and stay alive if all their employees did what they wanted to do? It's absurd, isn't it? It's ridiculous. But when you find a company that is full of employees that want to do what is right, how they can grow and they can thrive, right? Exactly. But here it is. Isn't it wonderful how that God's people can grow and thrive when we'll just simply trust the Lord? Now, I say that in very simple terms, but yet can you agree that sometimes that's the hardest thing to do? When life is all turned upside down, nothing makes sense, and God says, I just want you to trust me. Well, I don't have this to give. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm good enough. Oh, look at all of my past, and look at my sins, and Lord, I just don't think I can serve you. Just obey me. Just obey me. Yeah, but it's a bad time of the day. I didn't get any sleep. I'm just struggling here. I got too many things going on at home. He says, just trust me. Just trust me. But if I don't go to work and I don't work overtime and I don't work through Sundays, how am I going to pay for everything? If I don't use family time for Sunday, how are we going to be together? Just trust me. Are you with me, church? That is the exercising of faith, to take God's word over our very own understanding. Why don't we do it? I'll tell you why we don't do it. We don't trust Him. People so often want to blame religion. They want to blame Christianity. Oh, I see other people and their lives fell apart and they did this and they did that. But do we ever notice that the individual, were they faithful to God's word? Did they trust God's word? Did they follow God's word? God's word is not the failure, my friend. The Lord Jesus is not the failure, my friend. We have failed to test and to try the faithfulness of God's word in our personal lives. Can I get an amen? Or maybe an oh me. Whatever we need to do, a steward must step forward in faith, knowing that God has the solution and the answer, whether we can see it or not. You do understand that's the whole basis of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the world does. They contemplate, they plan, they chart pie graphs. They do all these things. They determine what we did last year, what we're going to do next year. But yet, we have no idea what we're going to do in the next year. But God does. And God prepares us. But yet, if we don't trust His word, then we neglect the preparation. We neglect the warning signs. We neglect His support, His joy, His strengthening. And we walk on our own. And then it all falls apart. And the first thing we want to say, see, I told you it wouldn't work. Foolishness, isn't it? God didn't fail. Our faithfulness gets weak. Amen? So as stewards, we must act in faith. Stewardship is a reflection of our love and faith in God's plan and His purpose for our lives. Right, church? We need to dedicate ourselves to that, that we will faithfully trust His plan for us, follow His purpose, and then we find joy in life and living. Then we begin to understand the resources that He is giving, offers, and the benefit and the profit, but yet not until we act in faith. Faithful stewards will trust in what God is doing. They will use the resources that are available, and we do so in a way that is pleasing to Him. You know, as we look at this unjust steward, he was trying to do things on his own, and he was trying to benefit himself. Even when he received the word that he's going to be cut off, he still has no problem just taking the resources of his master to pad his own landing, right? We automatically would ask, well, what would happen if the unjust steward would just admitted what he had done and tried to restore himself? What would happen? If the employer was willing, I mean, let's be honest, we don't want to fire anybody, do we? If they're a valuable employee, we know that they are talented, then we want to work with them and try to keep them, right? We'd want to restore. Of course we would. Same thing in membership. Being a part of the Lord's church, we want to restore. We're not looking for a reason to get rid of someone. We're looking for a reason to draw someone. Amen? But yet, the unjust steward didn't even consider making it right. He just wanted to get out the best way he could. But you know what? There's many times that God is just calling us to come back. Maybe we have floundered. Maybe we have misused our lives, our time, God's resources, and all of these things that he has given us. Maybe we kind of come to a point where we realize, I really haven't been walking by faith. I've just been trying to plan this out myself. What do? We come back and say, God, I need to make it right. Help me make it right that we can start anew. And did you know that Jesus says that he will forgive us? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be walking in faith. He wants us to be drawing from his eternal resources, not only to bring glory to his name, to bring blessing and joy to our lives. So living a life of faith is a continual refusal of our own way and trusting in Jesus and trusting in his word and his way on a daily basis. Can we do that, church? I want to challenge ourselves today in every decision that we make. Let's include God in it. Remember years ago, I think it was about in the 80s, they come out with the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. It was kind of a fad, but it's a brilliant idea because that's what discipleship is. That's what stewardship is. Jesus, what do you want us to do with your resources? That's the reason I gave you that prayer target sheets that I've been handing out. Of all the things that we're looking at as a finance team, that we're going to have to be doing repairs, big repairs on the church. And you know what? We're looking at things that we just simply don't have the money. We're getting real close to paying off the bathrooms that we finished upstairs here. We're getting real close. We're working towards that. But we got big projects that are coming up that are going to require a lot more than we have right now. And it's burdensome. And so what are we going to do? God, what do you want us to do with your resources? I had a pastor tell me one time, and I thought it was really challenging and pointed. The pastor got up in front of his congregation. He says, we need funds to take care of things here at church. We need funds for this ministry. He said, I got good news. God has provided all that we knew, all that we need to do these things. He said, there's one thing that's holding us up. It's in your pocket. You need to give it to the Lord and let's get going. Was he wrong? Some people say, oh, you're just meddling. Well, maybe we need to meddle. Amen. But honestly, isn't that where it comes from? God gives it through us. And it gets exciting when we can be a part of those things. Amen. And the blessings just continue to flow when we do so in faith. Amen. When we do so in faith. Now, I'm using money as an example, but yet in every part of our lives, the amount of time that we work, the amount of time that we spend in with our families, all of these things. God, what would you have us do? So secondly, our second point is a faithful steward will give a maximum effort and serve with excellence. Well, why do we have to serve with excellence? Because the excellency of Christ. You know, when we compare of what Jesus has done, that God the Father has sent, he didn't send an angel. Didn't send Moses, didn't send Billy Graham to die on the cross. Now, I'm just using examples. You all know these are all flawed creations, right? Even an angel could not come and die. You know why? Because he wasn't the Lamb of God, never could be. Jesus is the only one that could come. And God gave the very best so that there would be no question of the stability of the salvation that he gives, the forgiveness of sin, that the perfection of the sacrifice that went to the cross was perfect and nothing was left undone. Can I get an amen on that one? Praise God, he did it right the first time. How many times do you do something the first time you've never done before and get it perfect every time? Now, it's usually a disaster. Not for God. He did it right. He did it right the first time and it was the last time. Amen? Jesus stands as the eternal Savior and salvation for any and all who will trust in Him. So let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to talk about we must do our very best. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Sounds a little gruff, doesn't it? Solomon was writing the book of Ecclesiastes in that a life that is spent without God, Solomon determined that he was going to search everything, pleasure, money, wealth, every extreme that you could experience. And now what a great example. It's Solomon, one of the most wealthy of all kings. The wealth of Solomon's kingdom was above and beyond budgets of many nations, even today. It's astounding. And so he set his heart to search all of these extremes. And you know what the result is? He found it's all in vain. It's a waste without God. Now, some would think that, well, I should never try to do good and do well. No, you should try to excel and do and be the very best of whatever the skill and abilities that God has given you. Be the absolute best, but do it in service to and for God. Amen? Do it with excellence. Because let's face it, our time is limited. This is the central point of this verse, is that you need to do it and do it now. Because you're headed to the grave and you're not going to make up or fix anything in the grave. Right? So when we begin to realize the time that we have is very limited, it's restricted by our time that is on the earth. And so we should never put off faithfulness. We should never just put a half-hearted commitment into anything, but we should do it fully, faithfully, passionate, joyfully. Why? Because you're going to run out of time, and there's going to be a time in life you're going to look back and say, I wish I'd have done better. But God warns us that we might do it now and live a life with no regret, but rejoicing, joyful memories, and blessings to hand on to our family and children and our grandchildren. Our work must pass God's quality control. In Ecclesiastes 12, he tells us, now we're at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, so Solomon's kind of giving a conclusion of the book. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Now, I'm going to stop right in the middle of that. I know it's inconvenient, but I want you to think, for this is man's all. You know what he's saying? That this is the best that it can get. There's nothing greater than this. There's nothing more powerful than this. There's nothing more beneficial than this, that we give our all to God. How many times have many of you that have already entered into retirement, have you looked back over the course of your life and you begin to examine the things that you have done and things you have given, the time, the resources, the money, and all these things, and you stop and think, wow, I really wish I never would have got tied up with that. Oh, if I wouldn't have been paying for 20 years on that, and the thing just fell apart and is nothing but a pain in the neck, boy, what could we have done with, am I the only one that can reflect back and see those things? God is challenging us to consider before we jump in. Those of you that are planning life, those of you that are planning skills and jobs and all those things and studies, consider before you jump. God can save us so much time. God can open doors that we thought were impossible, and we walk right by when God says, no, that's exactly what I had for you. Oh, that's just too much, too good. I don't think God was blessing me with that. How do we know if you don't ask? Amen? James reminds us over and over, you have not because you ask not. Well, let me finish the verse that we're on. He says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. We're going to give an account. He's going to check the quality of what we have done. So how is it that we should live life? That we will pass the quality control? First of all, we should give our maximum effort in the excellencies of our homes. Right? How often do we think within ourselves, I want to go somewhere else and give my skill and talent because they appreciate me there. They don't appreciate me at home. Sometimes trying to minister at home is the hardest thing that we'll do, but it's where we start. Amen? Child of God, if you have a family, that is your first mission field. Everything else looks glamorous, doesn't it? Everywhere else that I could go seems more adventurous, more beneficial. It's not so hard to go witness out here. But when I go home, it's always a battle. Sometimes the ones that we love the most are the deepest and most hurtful battles. Amen? But my friend, that's where it starts as a child of God. You minister at home. Whether you're the husband or wife, whether you're the child, whatever it may be, your attitude at home will determine your attitude in service to God. Do you realize that? Young people, as you develop habits, attitudes at home, you will take that into your adult life. And if you marry, you will take that into your marriage. For years I heard that, and now I'm living it. It's true. We just think it's all going to go away. We think love's going to take care of all of it. Nope. You ignore it for a while. Then when you're stayed and settled, then it all blows up because you didn't take care of it. Elders, can you give me a... That's true, isn't it? Oh, those cute little things he used to do. Now I just want to slap him. Oh, it's so annoying. Am I right? You haven't lived life if you don't feel that way, right? Oh, he used to be so cute. Now I just can't stand him. It's true, isn't it? As stewards, we must give our maximum effort and excellencies in our home, in our daily lives, in our conversation, our attitudes, and even in our walking in our faith. We must give our maximum effort and excellence in our personal lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter challenges us, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as who called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We can give our excellencies in living holy lives before the Lord, following in obedience to Him. You know, I can remember in my life that as I begin to look back, that there were times that I wasn't faithful to the Lord. And I really was concerned. Just bad habits and bad things that I would do or say. And as a teenager, I'm like, Lord, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. And I come across the warning that Jesus gave His disciples. He says, if you love me, you know it, then keep my commandments. And it hit me. Oh my goodness. My problem is not psychological. My problem isn't just it's a bad habit. My problem is I don't love Him. That hit me like a rock, a hammer. It just, He was speaking to my heart. Are you with me? So many times we want to blame our unfaithfulness on everything else. But you know what it is? It's a heart problem. And sometimes even as a child of God, we just need to say, God, I need you to fix my heart. Fix my attitude. I need you. Maximum effort and excellencies in church membership. You know, I've been on you as a church, and I'm only doing this because I love you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, we see the purpose of the Lord's church. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Now, Peter is speaking. He was preaching to the Jews, and they're responding by the thousands. He says, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, they accepted Jesus as their Savior, were baptized in that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them. What is them? It's the church. And they continued steadfastly. Look what they did as new believers, as a church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they did this together, folks. They come together as a local church in submission to the authority of God as the body of Christ. They continue to come in mutual submission to the Lord Jesus and to one another under the authority of God's word, and they grew exponentially because God was steering and guiding and empowering the growth. It wasn't programs. It wasn't great scenes. It wasn't great praise team rocking it out on the stage. It wasn't people being healed and people flopping around on the floor. It was simply people trusting God's word, following God's word, and giving themselves in excellency to Christ and fulfilling it in the body of Christ, as God has left the Lord's church to do exactly that. Do you believe that? Then why do we run after so many other things and waste our time? Why do we run for somewhere else? Is that I want to find a more interesting church. I want to find something better. I want to find something bigger. I want to find this. I want to find that. Have you even prayed about that? So many times our calling is nothing about what we want, but it's what we're going to do in service to the Lord. Amen? You go running for something when it's right under your nose. The service is where God has called you. The blessed place for us to serve is where God called us. But are we trusting in that? Are we believing in that? Many times we feel like we're on the outside because we've put ourselves on the outside. Just come in faithful service to the Lord's church. You've made a commitment to the Lord to follow Him. He showed you how to follow. He's teaching you, He's guiding you, but He does so in fellowship with other believers. And so therein comes the accountability. Don't get discouraged when someone calls you and say, "We missed you Sunday." Well, they're just trying to get on to me and they're sticking their nose around. We love you. We love you. Did your mom ever go digging through your room and digging through your private stuff? Mine did. I'm like, "What are you doing? That's mine." "No, it's my house. It's mine. Show it to me." You know what she's doing? She's holding me accountable. She knew what boys do. She even knew what they were thinking about doing before they did it. "What are you thinking?" "Nothing." "Oh, you are." I was. Bad stuff. Dumb stuff. "Oh, we didn't like it at the moment, but I look back. Man, thank the Lord for parents that are willing to go to bat for me. Tell me what I need to know." Amen? Sometimes we need friends that are willing to tell us what we need to know. Sometimes you need it. So don't get all mad. Amen? Don't get upset when somebody loves you, wanting to encourage you. Now, I know some of us are gruff. Some of us aren't the fine, polished speakers that we may want to be. But can you look past that? Can you look past some of our weaknesses and see that we love you? We're trying to look past yours. How about giving me a little grace? Are you with me? We're all here desperate for God's grace. Amen? None of us are worthy of it. But man, I'm thankful that He loved me. How about you? Our maximum effort and excellency in worship. You know what? Too many times we come to God's house expecting the pastor and the praise team to make the worship pleasant and exciting. You know who makes worship powerful? You do. Right where you sit. And preparation for worship doesn't start on a Sunday morning. Do you remember as they were preparing to go into the promised land? Joshua was going through the law. They rehearsed the law. They went through the whole law. And he said, and Moses saying, "Now I know when you go in, you're going to follow Joshua." But Moses said, "I know when you go in, God said, you're going to turn from him. And I'm warning you, don't do it." And so he preached all of that. And then finally Joshua, you know, Moses, he died. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Now Joshua's leading them in. And he says, "I'm telling you to follow the Lord. Make plans now before we go in." And Joshua made his famous quote as he says, "As for me and my house," but they haven't even got there yet. You know what Joshua's doing? He's making plans for faithfulness. He's not going to wait till Sunday morning to decide to go to church. They decided last week. They decided Saturday evening. Now you kids get to bed early. You go to bed. Put the electronics away because when you get up, I'm not going to fight with you because you will go to church. Well, what if I don't feel... Man, I never got that option. My dad said, "If you're laying in the hospital or if you're dead, I'll let you miss a Sunday." It was never, you understand, it was never a discussion. It wasn't open. It wasn't happening. You will go. And you know, as a kid, I kind of grumbled a little bit. I can remember one time I got to go home early from church because I ran back to the bathroom and I threw up my socks. "Oh, I guess you're sick. Okay, I'll take you home." Now, I'm saying that flippantly, but I want you to understand is that my dad made plans for faithfulness, and we're not moving from this. And you know what it did for me? A lot of people say, "Well, I hate church. I was made to go." I was made to go every single event. And you know what? I love my parents, and I love the Lord for it. So what's the difference? When we faithfully submit to the authority of God and love Him for it. Are you with me, stewards? Are you with me? We can do this with excellence. But if you try to blame God and everybody else and you neglect the heart of the matter, then we're never going to see the excellencies when we come into the very presence of God. And so prepare for faithfulness. Don't let it be up for obligation or let it be up for debate. Make it an obligation that this is what we will do in faithfulness to the Lord. My last point, a faithful steward will not only start well, but will finish well. We see there in Luke 16 in the text that we're at, he says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" This is talking about leadership. This is talking about growing stewards. He says, if you can't be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you can't handle your money at home, if you can't be a good steward of taking care of your family and paying your bills and doing what is necessary and caring for others that are around you in need and taking care of your family as a whole, then who's going to entrust you with the godly things, the true riches of God's house? Faithfulness starts at home. Faithfulness starts personally. Faithfulness grows into service within the Lord's church, but it has to be one that has been faithful in the small things, amen? And it starts with Bible study, it starts with prayer time, it starts with faithfulness, it starts with holiness. All of these things that we're doing in excellency begin to change us and shape us. We can put it off, we can ignore it. It's not fun, it's not what I want to do. I'll do it later. Then you're not going to grow as a steward of God's will. You're neglecting the resources and all that God has called you to. Are you with me, church? You're not stunted in your growth because of what's going on around you. You're stunted by the heart attitude that we approach God and the stewardship that we have been given. Think about that, church. When we looked at Luke 13, 16, verse 13, he says that he used the example, I think it was 6:13, where he was, you know, with that confusing line there, he was saying that when he turned and he lessened the debt that the others would have, and the owner was impressed. You know, verse 7, he said, "And how much do you owe?" Okay, I'm going down. Okay, verse 8, "The master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly." Now, some of us would think that, well, he just stole more money from you. But you know what the employer is noticing? Is that that's why I hired him. He's brilliant, but he's a thief. I can't keep him around. But he's brilliant. He could have done so much, but he wouldn't follow the plan. I'm firing him. Do you see what's going on? So then in the middle of the sentence, it turns to, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." What's he talking about? Is that they put every passion and effort that they can in the physical world, those that are lost, to gain, to prosper, and to grow. But then when in comparison to the children of God, do we pour our passions and everything that we, all that we are, into the things of God in the same way? And the audience that Jesus was speaking to, the Pharisees, they were not. So I'm asking you to examine yourself and ourselves as a church. Are we shrewd? Now, sometimes you think shrewd is a bad thing. But actually, shrewd and cunning can be a very valuable thing. It shows intelligence. It shows motivation. It shows a commitment. We watch the world giving their lives and everything that they are for worldly things, but yet, does the world see God's people giving everything and all that they are for the cause of Christ? You answer that. A faithful steward would be seen doing that. The unfaithful are not. As good stewards, we're looking for the rewards. Did you know that there's reward that is coming to those that are faithful? In our world today, we don't get to see those rewards immediately. Sometimes it takes time. In Matthew, he said, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Do you not look forward to that time? As stewards, we have a accountability to God, but we have an accountability to each other. I'm going to ask you this morning, we're going to take a moment of prayer. I'm going to ask you as a church, would you be willing to come forward and pray, not only for ourselves, but as a church? Would you come forward to pray and say, "God, make us the passionate stewards of your riches that we need to be"? Lord, we want to be good stewards, but sometimes we don't even know. We're not even aware of the resources that are available. God, I need to be in my word. I need to be in your word and studying and digging deep. What is it that I need to be doing? Are you willing to ask the Lord that today? Are you willing to open yourself and say, God, I'm just asking you to do, what is it that you want me to do with your resources? Where am I not growing? Is it a heart problem? Is it an attitude problem? Is it maybe I've just given up? I'm tired. Lord, I've been fighting everything around me. I'm exhausted. I got nothing left. Can I encourage you, child of God? He has everything left. You think you've reached your end, but you've just come to the beginning of God's purpose and plan for your life. He wants to draw you in. Church, does our community look at us and say, those people love the Lord? Can they see whether we say anything to them or not? Can they see it in our lives? Can they see it in our faithfulness? Can they see it in our attitudes? So as we've looked at all of these, the unjust steward, the accusation was brought. He could have just went to the employer and said, I did. I messed up. But he didn't. He went back and dug himself deeper and took more of the resources that were not his to take. But you know what? When we come to the Lord, we can say, Lord, I know I've messed up. And do you know that he's going to continue to love you? He's going to forgive. But folks, we need to follow up in that confession that we say, Lord, help me not to do these again. Help me change my heart, change my mind, and use me. I'm going to bring us to a close in prayer. I hope that God has continued to speak to your heart, may continue to do so this week. Lord, make us good stewards that are faithful and worthy of your calling. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, you've seen your church respond. You see your people wanting to follow and obey you. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Bless them for their efforts today. Open our hearts. Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to open those painful things. But Lord, I know that you're able to do so in a way that brings healing, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much we're afraid of facing it. We know that you can bring healing. We know that you can restore. You tell us that you're able to restore the time that is lost, and it's done because we're following your plan and your purpose. But Lord, we've got to trust you, much the same way as you come wanting to heal the child of this man. He says, oh, I believe it can be, but Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, if we're just weak in faith, Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen us, that would lean upon you. We've been through so much. You're drawing us to you, the trials and the losses and the pains that we have. None of this is without purpose. You don't bring the pain. You're not the author of pain. You're not the author of sin. But yet you use those things to draw us closer home. And so, Lord, help us to come home. Help us to be drawn closer to you. Help us to acknowledge our need. But Lord, more than that, open our eyes to the possibilities of being your steward. The resources that are available that we can win this world. We can win our community. We can win our homes. We can find peace and rest and stability in you. Lord, we just need to come as faithful stewards and be used of you. Lord, I know that there's some here today that just have so many things that are confusing and maybe we don't even know where to start. Lord, I pray that you'll draw them to their knees and spend time in the word and spend time in prayer with you. And God, that you'll begin to open their hearts and their minds of each step, whether it's a time of confession, maybe it's a time of fasting, that we will commit ourselves to seek you, seeking your presence, seeking your will, that we will follow and obey you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for using us. May you empower your church. May you empower each home and family that makes up this church family. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.